her, her husband, and their son before I left the house. I didn't go in. They kept their door locked, but I sensed them beyond it, warm and safe together. They'd earned it. I didn't do safe, at least not just yet. A woman had certain expectations after being resurrected, to live life to its fullest. There was no place for me in their world now. I had taught Kate everything she needed to know to survive. My niece had changed me in a way she would never fully understand. Kate had needed a mother, and I had stepped in to fill the spot, never expecting anything in return. Then she'd had her son, and he'd needed a grandmother. I'd thought Aratim was dead. She was a silly girl, the Rose of Tigris, pretty and dumb in the way the very young sometimes are. She played in the water, grew flowers, liked pretty dresses, and made silly little plans for the future. A husband, children, nieces and nephews, family feasts. A life that was happiness and warmth. I had buried her in the ashes of war so I could pick up a sword. I thought she had melted into the ages of pain and suffering until only the city eater remained. But now she was back. She was no longer young or naive, but she was within me. My mother used to say that family, blood or found, was our salvation. It was the net that caught us when we drowned and gently lifted us up out of the raging waters. She was wise, my mother. My niece would be sad when she awoke, but then she'd get over it. She had a husband and a son to look after, and the Shar no longer troubled her. It was time to let her breathe. We'd meet again, and soon. The brush on my left side stirred again, the third time now. "Come out," I said. A black and white horse edged her way out of the woods, carrying a pale-haired rider. Julie. "Running away from home?" I asked. She raised her chin. "Funny child." "Yes," she said. "Is this about your sticking it to your mother?" She shrugged.
"Yes."
"Go back. I don't have time for liars." The child of the steppes looked me in the eye.
"It's about me. She promised to never do the thing she did, and now she's done it. It will eat at her. She will hate herself for it. She will think that for a few seconds she turned into Roland. I don't want her to feel bad about it. She took me in when nobody cared if I lived or died. I don't want to be a walking, talking reminder that she didn't stick to her promise. It will make everything complicated."
Life was complicated. Being dead was a lot easier.
"Either way," she said, "it's time for me to go. I could stay, wait for her to get over it, and go on just like I have been for years, never changing, never leaving the city. But I want more. I want my own. I thought about it for a long time, even before everything happened. It's time to go."
"Where are you going?"
"Anywhere but here. I left her a long letter so she wouldn't think I ran off in a huff."
I sighed. "I suppose you can tag along." She rode up next to me. She sat like she was born on a horse. Blood always breeds true. I told him this, and he didn't believe me. My brother, with his crowded mind, so filled with ideas. He often forgot that people weren't simply cogs powering the machine of his ambition. Well, look who was sitting in a dragon lair now.
"What's our first stop?" Julie asked.
"Mishmar. I have a promise to keep with my mother."
"If Kate is my mother, does that make you my grand aunt?"
"Possibly."
"That's sort of like a grandmother, isn't it?"
"Yes."
"Can I call you Granny?"
"Not if you want to keep your teeth." She laughed like a little silver bell. The sun rolled above the horizon, shining on us. Julie looked thoughtful for a moment, then said,
"She's his grandmother, too. Should we tell him? Can we take him with us to Mishmar to visit her?"
"Maybe," I said. The boy would need to meet his grandmother at some point, but right now he had his hands full, and I doubted his wife would appreciate us dragging him off on family business. It wasn't so bad to have a granddaughter, I decided. I'd never had one before, and this one brimmed with magic. There was so much I could teach her.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Magic Triumphs by Ilona Andrews, performed by Renee Rodman. Performance copyright 2018 by Brilliance Audio, all rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.